All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, June 10th, 2017. An absolutely glorious day. If you're not playing golf today, you have some serious responsibilities. That's all I have to say. Glad to be in studio with Steve Goldman. How you doing, Steve?
Very well, Anthony. Like you said, beautiful day, and next week should be basically summer weather, so great day to get out there. We got the Belmont Stakes Day today, so great day for horse racing, but an interesting leaderboard at the FedEx St. Jude Classic.
And a great guest, too.
So we got a lot to talk about.
I'm looking forward to talking to Evan and particularly about the list of golf courses. And when you look at, you know, being a golf photographer, right? And let's just use Long Island as an example. Probably Long Island, maybe close to or comparable to maybe the best 100-mile stretch of golf in the world. And you talk about classic courses, top courses, or historical golf courses. It's got everything, but it's mostly private, right?
And probably golf courses that I think the locals take for granted the most because they don't realize what kind of a gem they have. You're right, in this stretch. I mean,
sure.
I mean, like you said, there's a lot of private courses, but there's still a lot of public courses out there that that are quite picturesque and photo worthy, if you will. And I can't wait to find out from Evan Schiller what his opinions are about the landscape that is Long Island.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that, you know, he's our window to this little, you know, to these little worlds. You know, golfers love to imagine things, you know.
Yes.
I guess just like you probably imagined yourself playing in Yankee Stadium, or some kids thinking about playing at the Garden, or, you know, playing at ice hockey in the Garden or in the Coliseum. And you know, golfers are no different, right? They want to picture themselves on that stadium field, that turf, that. And so, you know, Evan gives us that window into that opportunity.
When I played Bethpage Black for the first time, I couldn't take my eyes off the landscape. And I was playing as a single, so I was in a foursome with people I'd never met before. And the people that I played with had played there before and told me that they've actually brought their own cameras to take pictures while they're playing the round. So they would sort of point out certain overlooks or certain vistas every time we were there, because I was just in awe of how beautiful the place was, because I'd never played it before. I've only seen it a few times in pictures. But to be there and to just look around and to see, you know, how beautiful the landscape was and how, you know, the terrain was magical. And it, you know, didn't even make a difference what I shot. I mean, who cares? I mean, I don't care. I don't, especially for me. And on a course like that, I don't care what my number is. But just to be able to walk the grounds and to be able to see the beauty of the golf course was the memory that I took.
Right. And thanks to people like Evan, when they take pictures of golf courses like that, when you do see those pictures, it takes you right back.
Yeah.
You know, he sucks you back right into those moments where you were like, I was right there. I remember that hole. And I was. So anyway, looking forward to talking to him. We should probably wrap this up. Let's get to our first break. So when we come back, we're talking to golf photographer Evan Schiller. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia, in the studio with Steve, and on the line is golf photographer Evan Schiller. Evan, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you on. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. As you could probably, or maybe you heard us talking about, we love what you do, and I want to get to some of the Long Island golf courses that you shot that we can talk about. But let's maybe take us back to the beginning, really. And you know, when did photography become an important thing in your life? And then when did golf sort of intersect that world?
I've done both since I was pretty young. Actually, I grew up playing a lot of golf. Actually, I'm a golf professional.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up playing golf in the metropolitan area. I played junior golf, junior tournaments, and amateur golf, and then I played college golf. But how I got started with a camera is my parents had bought me a little Instamatic, God, a long time ago, maybe when I was 8 or 9, and I would just go around taking pictures of things. And my mother was a pretty good photographer as well, not a professional. And, you know, she'd say, boy, this is really good. But, you know, as I started playing more golf in high school and college, I didn't take many photos until I started playing some tournament golf, professional tournament golf. And I realized that I should be bringing a camera with me. And it actually was a moment out in California where I was walking down this fairway at PGA West, and it was early morning, the sun's hitting the hole and the mountains behind, and I said, you know what, I got to start bringing a camera with me just to take some shots. You know, like you guys are talking about, the people go out Bethpage and just bring their camera to take photos. And
right.
That's how it started. And, you know, I would just give them to my friends or things like that. But it wasn't until I actually worked as an assistant professional in Westchester at Quaker Ridge and Westchester where, you know, a couple friends of mine suggested that I put some photos in a pro shop and sell them, and that's kind of how it started.
Evan, you've played on lots of different tours, especially the most notably, of course, the PGA Tour, but in Canada and also in mini tours. You know, I'm wondering, you know, how to maintain your focus. I mean, obviously, this is your job, and you're trying to earn a living by playing golf. But I wonder if sort of getting caught up, if it was let's say easy for you to not only focus on your job, but also sort of soak in the scenery in a particular golf course that you're playing and think, you know, yeah, this would be a really good picture. Or, wow, you know, maybe I wish I had my camera at this moment.
Well, it's more so now than then. Back then, I was pretty focused on playing golf and getting the ball in the hole.
Right.
Now I go out, you know, and if I'm playing golf on a really nice day, I'm looking around and saying, oh, this would be a really good shot, or boy, I should be out shooting today rather than playing golf. So it's flipped a little bit in the last, you know, 25 years, whereas originally it wasn't like that. But no, I get it. You know, sometimes you just look around, and even when you're playing, just to look around and appreciate the beauty of some of these places. And, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people and asked them why they play golf. And most often, many of them say, I play golf just to be outdoors in nature, because they really just love being outside in these beautiful vistas and gardens, you know, you might say.
Well, I would think in some ways it helped a lot, just because golf affords you that time in between shots where you really, you know, Jack Nicklaus said that, right, the 30 seconds or the minute before he started to get ready to hit his shot. I mean, he was trying to think, you know, he would think of other things until he got into that golf shot mode. So, and golf doesn't, you know, golf affords you that opportunity to do that. So I would think, you know, sometimes it's hard to make up things to think about or think about, you know, you have to having to think about things to think about. figure that one out. Right. And then, so, but at least you had an outlet, a natural outlet that fit the landscape in which you were a part of.
Yeah. Well, you know, if a round of golf takes, you know, 4 hours, let's say, most of the time you're out there, you're not swinging. In fact,
right.
Very little time, maybe 5 minutes where you're actually swinging at 4 hours, you know, because what, does the swing take 2 seconds?
Sure.
The rest of the time, like you said, is the time in between shots where you're walking around or you're surveying the landscape, you're talking to your friends. Or
looking
you're
for your ball.
And your head upset about the last shot, so... yeah, most of the time during a round of golf, it's a time in between shots, and what a more opportune time to just look around and appreciate, you know, the beauty of the place, or, you know, the architecture of the golf course. whatever it might be.
Evan, you've used various, let's say, vantage points to take your pictures. I mean, obviously being on the ground, but you've used, you know, some sort of lifts, even helicopters, and now you're getting into drones. How did that come about?
Well, God, I wish I had drones 20 years ago. It's, you know, shooting from the ground, I usually will use some kind of ladder, and I'll, you know, I put it on the back of a golf cart, and I climb up the ladder and put my tripod and camera on top of the golf cart to get a certain perspective. If I want, in the past, when I wanted to get a little higher, I would use a lift, but that always required somebody to drive it around for me, and then, you know, get it settled. They got to put those little legs down to balance it. Then they got to put it up. You know, I got to get in it. Then I got to put it up. Then I got to bring it down. Then I have to move it to the next spot. So that was a little bit tedious and time-consuming and took away from my time shooting, although it was really great way to capture some perspectives with a little bit of elevation. But now that, you know, I have a drone, it's been a game changer, really. Because it, you know, just affords me various different angles that I can get to and spots that I can get to, you know, where I'm essentially standing in one spot. You know, I mean, I move around, but I stand in one spot and I can move the drone to various heights, angles that I want to. So it's plus do video. So it's been a game changer, really. Completely altered the whole way I shoot and the way I see golf courses, the way I look at them. And they're fun to fly.
Yeah, I would get, you know, it's like going back to the days of your toy airplane and stuff like that, could be able to fly those things. I wanted to, before the drone, let's say, and when you were doing traditional setups, what was a day like? How did you plan for? How did you, you know, what was your process in terms of, and how long did it take you to shoot? I mean, you've shot obviously wonderful courses, particularly on Long Island, Shinnecock, Garden City, you know, and the like. And so I'm just wondering what's your planning process? What's your setup process? Take us through a typical shoot for a day. And if it's just one day, I don't know how long it takes.
No, it's actually a great question. It really depends. Some shoots are a day. Some, you know, if somebody wants me to shoot all 18 holes, like oftentimes a course will want all 18 holes shot so they can, you know, they use it for their marketing purposes or in-house collateral material, you know, social media now, but also to have it on their website so people can, you know, look what, you know, the first hole looks like, the sixth hole, the seventh hole, the eighth hole. So after the shoot's been set up, what I normally do is I will be in touch with the superintendent because they are, the superintendent's probably, after the shoot is set up, is the most important person for me during the shoot, because I have to coordinate with them, because, you know, early in the morning they're out doing their work. So I have to coordinate with them so we're not getting in the way of each other. And, you know, suppose there's a certain hole that I want to photograph at sunrise. Let's say now it's pretty early. It's like 5:30. And meanwhile, all his guys have been out there driving around in the dew, and there's tracks in the dew, so that doesn't work very well.
Right.
But he doesn't want a shot of their hole with cart tracks in the dew.
Right.
So I have to speak to him about what holes, him or her, whatever, what holes I want to shoot in the morning. Let's say, okay, I want to shoot this hole, this hole, this hole, and this hole. And oftentimes they'll prepare it for me. In other words, they'll mow it, they'll rake bunkers, you know, things like that, so it looks nice. Or certain times I'll just say, can you just leave it alone? So they may have their staff go to another hole. You know, let's say I'm going to shoot certain holes on the front nine. They may start on the back nine with their process.
Evan, is there any preparation involved before you get to a shoot? Like, you've been to the, like, have you gone to the golf course before? Have you walked around? Have you gotten in a cart? How do you know what you're going to shoot?
I scout. Yeah, that's actually one of the most important things, is I scout every course, and it's really important to know each course extensively, from the standpoint of, you know, what angles you think you want to shoot, you know, what areas you want to be in, but also at what time, because the light The light is one of the most important things. The light and the perspective from where you shoot, because the light may be good, let's say, at 6 a.m. on the third hole, but it takes until 6:30 on the seventh hole for it to look good. So I have to know the light patterns. I mean light, I mean the sun, and how it hits each hole and what time is optimal to shoot that particular hole. You know, and some might be, the best light might be early in the morning, some might be late in the afternoon. So from scouting a course, I get to know that. Now, I generally don't like to do a shoot where, let's say, I show up in the morning having never seen a golf course before. That makes it hard, because then all I'm doing is running around looking for certain opportunities, and I've done it, but it's not ideal. I generally like to scout a course pretty extensively, so I know not only the holes, the shortcuts to drive around, but also how the light hits each hole, because that's really important. And sometimes it takes, you know, a couple of days. Like I just got back from Chicago. I was there for the week shooting at Medina, and you know, it took a day to really get a sense of, okay, the light is really good on this hole at this time. And so it takes a little bit of time to get to know the course.
Yeah, I would think. We have to take a short break. We'll be back in 30 seconds listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
Founded in the early 1990s, Tri-State Turfgrass Research Foundation exists to improve golf course conditions throughout the Tri-State area, positively impacting millions of golfers each year. The foundation identifies key turfgrass problems, solicits donations, and works with university professors to solve these problems through integrated pest management. Since its inception, Tri-State has raised $1.1 million for turfgrass research. We would like to thank the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association for their continued support. If you would like to make a donation, visit tristateturf.org. Once again, that's tristateturf.org.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. Steve is in the co-chair. And on the line is Evan Schiller, and you can find a lot of his stuff at golfshots.com or evanschillerphotography.com. Evan, where do you get your inspiration from when you start to size up, when you look at a golf course and you're thinking about the kind of shots that you want to take? Is it from other photographers, or are there other artists, paintings that you sort of glean from? Or, you know, where do you sort of get your inspiration from?
Great question. I always look at other photography, not just golf photography, but, you know, landscape photography, architectural photographers, portrait photographers, and sometimes, you know, like other golf photographers, and I get ideas. You know, every course is a little different, but it gives me, when I look at other photography, sometimes it gives me an idea of like, huh, okay, that's an idea of how to shoot a course or a certain angle, you know, over a bunker or, I'm trying to think of something specific, but yeah, looking at other photographers' work sometimes gives me inspiration, but also just, you know, being out on the golf course, driving around, that's why the scouting part is so important, because just driving around scouting, you know, I look at various angles, you know, I drive behind the green to the side, and, you know, you'll see, okay, well, maybe it'd be a nice shot from here in the morning, or maybe it'd be a good shot here in the afternoon. Or over this bunker, shooting over this bunker might be kind of cool, or over this fescue that's around this bunker. So it actually comes from both, you know, sometimes seeing other photographers' work and, you know, oh, there's an idea, trying their idea of what they had shot or a certain perspective. That's, I would say, how it comes about. But it comes from various places.
Evan, I'm curious about the logistics about how an arrangement is made. Does the golf course seek you out? Do you seek the golf course out? Maybe there's a third party involved that sort of puts you two together. How does something like this come about in the first place?
That's right. These are great questions, by the way, guys.
Thank you.
Really good.
Only the hard-hitting stuff you get on Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Yeah, I know. That's good. I am generally contacted by the course. Most of the time it's a general manager or a marketing person, director of marketing, or both. Once in a while, you know, it'll be the head professional will contact me. Or sometimes it'll be like an advertising firm that'll contact me. There, you know, there's a few advertising firms that I work with who represent certain courses, and so they contact me. And then they usually, you know, they'll let me know what they want. You know, I want 18 holes, or we just want you to come for 2 days and shoot a bunch of photography so we have a collection for our marketing purposes or website. But, you know, generally they want a course shot so they can have a library of images that they can use for their website, for their marketing, like I said, social media. But it generally starts with them contacting me and asking for, you know, wanting the course to be shot.
Now, I know that obviously every time you go out on a shoot, you want to do your best. But I imagine when the USGA wants you to do a shoot for the U.S. Open program, that might add on a little bit extra pressure to make sure that you get the shot that you really want, especially if they're going to put your pick, if they're going to put one of your photos on the cover of the program.
Yeah, actually, they did for the Beth Page in 2002. But it wasn't a plan thing. I got this great shot from behind the 17th green, and I send it to them, and they go, "Oh, this is good. Can we use it?" It was kind of a backdoor.
Yeah.
Shot.
Hey, listen, we take it any way we can get it, right?
Exactly. I would imagine it's like any profession that, you know, when I'm in the midst of doing what I'm doing, I'm not thinking about that. You know, it's like if Rory McIlroy's, well, guys who play well under what you would call the pressure, when they've got a 3-foot putt to win the tournament, if they're thinking about winning the tournament, they're probably not going to win.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They're focusing on the putt and what they got to do. You know, regardless of what the announcers say, there's a lot of pressure. Well, if he's experiencing a lot of pressure, he's probably not going to make the putt most of the time. So, yeah, I know that's in the background, like, okay, I got to get this shot, or I got to get a good shot. But you're mostly focused on what the heck you got to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the angles or whatever, and
you got to worry about. You got to stick to the process, Evan. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Stick to the process.
Yeah, exactly.
So
when we talk
about when you think about Long Island, I know we're almost up against it, so we got to wrap it up soon.
We got some time here.
We got some time. And I wanted to see what your – I'm not going to ask you your favorite golf course. Like, it's nothing like that. But are there any – particularly Long Island, since you've shot some really, I mean, choice golf clubs on Long Island. Of the ones on Long Island that you've shot before, what hole, what shot, what comes to mind first to you? What looks right immediately comes to mind when you think about your work on Long Island?
Okay, two shots. Actually, three.
Now take your time. Take your time.
And, you know, the reason they turned out great was I get a certain angle and I happened to be there, but it was because of the weather and the circumstances. The first one that comes to mind is one I took at Inwood of the 14th hole, this par 3 out by the bay with, you know, the Kennedy Airport's across the water. And I was doing this. It was a beautiful day, and all of a sudden this thunderstorm starts coming across. You could see it coming across the city and then across, you know, the airport. And it was coming across the bay, and it was this big dark cloud. And I'm out there taking photos of this hole, and I'm with the superintendent and one of his assistants, and we're using a lift. And one of his assistants said he wanted to go to the clubhouse, and I said, no, I'm staying. So we sat in the truck through the thunderstorm. Actually, I think it even hailed a little bit. We were right by the tee, and the storm passed, and the sun came out, and it was amazing. The light was just amazing, the way it hit the clouds. It was like this orange and red, and the superintendent stuck with me, and he put the lift up, and I got the shot. And, in fact, I got a shot, a plane landing at Kennedy Airport in the
Whoa.
Background. So that was pretty cool.
And a historic golf course of as well, you know, having the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship there at Inwood in the early 20s. What was the second shot?
The second one is one I took at Friar's Head of the ninth hole. And actually, it was the first time I'd ever gone out there. And it was there was a front moving in. Or actually, yeah, front had just passed through. And, you know, they had these amazing kind of cloud formations. And I sat there on the ninth tee hoping the sun was going to come out. It was just amazing cloud formations over the clubhouse, over the water. The light was, it was almost surreal. Somebody would look at it and swear it's a painting. And the sun came out for, you know, a few minutes, and I got this shot. That's the only shot I got all day.
Well, that's and you know, the thing about that is, in both cases, what you're talking about is that normally you're taking pictures on a sunny day, but when you get clouds like that in a front like that, it creates a certain sense of drama that you don't, a sort of visual drama that you don't normally get on a sunny day in a golf course. So
that's exactly what both of them were.
Yeah. So I really want to thank you. We're going to wrap things up, and I wanted to, golfshots.com, Evan, is that really the place to go, or either one?
Yep.
It's nice and easy. Golfshots.com, it's Evan Schiller, photography.com, either way, some really, really beautiful stuff. And Evan, we really appreciate you.
Evan, you got any projects coming up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just got back from Edina, which I love.
Yeah.
It's a great place. Let's see, where am I going? I got going down to Philadelphia in a couple weeks. Yeah, I'm going to be shooting Quaker Ridge, Westchester, in the next few weeks, possibly Bayonne in the next few weeks. So, yeah, a bunch of local stuff coming up in the next few weeks.
Well, I'm sure you, visiting all these beautiful places, I'm sure you get a lot of, offers for people to help you to go out and see these places. It's probably, I would imagine, anybody would want to kind of go back out and walk some of those golf courses that you get to see.
There's a list of probably about 50 people who said they want to carry my equipment. And it's growing.
Yeah. Well, Evan, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us this morning, bud.
Hey, guys, that's really great. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Have a great day.
You too. All right, we'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's, the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Steve Goldman on the in the second mic here. Steve, what a great, you know, great guest. I mean, that's, I love, you know, that kind of stuff we just don't get to hear enough about, like that, you know, that kind of process. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, go out and shoot a golf course.
No, and to find the perfect shot, and, you know, like he said, to get the perfect light at the perfect angle, you know, there's a lot of variables involved in putting together a great shot, and there's a lot of, you know, time and effort and preparation that goes in before you start even pointing the camera in the first place. So very fascinating. Evan Schiller, go to his website. You'll see some beautiful pictures, and you can pretty much pick any state you want and pretty much any big time golf course in any state, and you'll see Evan Schiller photography there.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine. Obviously you get better with practice, you know, obviously, and but just thinking about knowing what holes would have the best look good in the best light, like, you know, I'm thinking about right now, I would need 18 days because I have to see the sunrise and sunset for 18 times to decide what hole,
right.
You know, but obviously he has an eye for it and is obviously a professional and a well-respected one, given the list of his of the courses he shot. If that's any reflection, then you know what you're getting with Evan Schiller. So
that's why they pay him.
That's why they pay him. All right, that's it for this week, folks. We really appreciate you coming in and joining us and having the pleasure of your company. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Have a great weekend, everyone.